Grace to you and welcome to the DDP. I'm your host, Paul White. It's great to have you with me on this first day of the month of July. We have officially entered the second half of 2019, and today we will officially enter the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians in our journey through Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Quickly, I want to remind you that I'm coming to Springfield, Illinois this weekend. Natasha and I will be making the journey to be with some ministry friends in Springfield, and they are hosting us for a Saturday night grace encounter. I'd like to invite anyone and everyone within driving distance of Springfield, Illinois, to come be with us on Saturday night, 6 o'clock Central Time. This grace encounter will be held in the conference center at the Hilton Garden Inn. Hilton Garden Inn is located at 3100 South Dirksen Parkway. That's D-I-R-K-S-E-N Parkway in Springfield, Illinois, 62703. We're going to start at 6 o'clock and have a wonderful time sharing the word. I've already heard from some people driving down from the Chicago area. We have some people driving in from the Southern Illinois Carbondale area. And it's going to be a wonderful time together this weekend on Saturday night. I'm very excited. I'm always excited to go do ministry anywhere, get to talk to any of our friends, but I'm super excited when Natasha gets to go with me. And so she will be with me on this trip. Come meet her. That's lately been I had someone at a product table at a meeting we did recently, and they came over to me real tentatively and said, "Do you think I could meet her?" Well, of course you can. She'd be glad to meet you. People want to meet the mysterious Natasha. So come out and be with us on Saturday. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1. When you get into this, you'll notice that it sounds a bit familiar, and that's because if you're holding your copy of the Bible, go look back at the 10th verse of chapter 1. Because in the 10th verse of chapter 1, Paul begins his argument that sectarianism is a sin, that you should not be splintering off into these little camps. It doesn't mean that you can't have friends, certain groups of people that you think you get more out of than others. That's not Paul's argument. Paul's argument is not about personality. His argument in the first chapter is about people who feel as if they are some different product of Christian because of whom they came into the faith through. Was it Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Christ? And there was obviously some bragging about, "I was baptized by so-and-so." Oh, I was baptized by so-and-so. And there's a little bit of that that's fairly evident with the, "Well, I follow this ministry, well, I follow that ministry." But probably a little less evident is this idea of how you got saved or what kind of church you come up in which you relate or in which you take confidence as to what kind of Christian you are. Or how we judge other people for what kind of Christian we think they probably are based on what they came up under. Well, I know that. Well, I know the doctrine of that church he came up under. That ought to tell you a lot about him. Yeah, well, of course he feels that way. He went to such and so church. There seems to be that same thing, that same sort of style of thing going on even today. Here's what it sounds like in the third chapter. First verse, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal." Now remember, staying in 1 Corinthians, back in chapter 2, Paul said, "I didn't come with excellence of speech. I didn't come declaring to you the mystery of God. Instead, I decided to preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified." And then in verse 6, "However, we speak wisdom among you to those who are mature, not the wisdom of this age, but of the age to come." In other words, for those of you who are immature, I have to keep talking about Christ crucified. For those of you who are more mature, there are other deeper things of God. Then in chapter 3, "You know, I want to talk to you as if you're spiritual, but you guys act so carnal. You're like a bunch of babies. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't able to receive it. And even now you're not able to receive it because you're still carnal." And when Paul talks about carnality in 1 Corinthians 3, he doesn't bring up a bunch of sin. He doesn't say you're fornicators and adulterers and murderers and liars. No, for him, carnality Verse 3, where there's envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Which, by the way, I love that phrase, behaving like mere men. But let's focus again on the carnality. So for Paul, carnality is this idea of arguments in the natural about who's spiritual and who's not, et cetera, et cetera. Wherever this envy, strife, division stuff's happening, that's behavior, literally in the Greek, that's walking according to man. But that phrase, that word mirror is added by translators. Are you not behaving like mere men? I still like it. I know it's an addition, but it says what the Greek is trying to say, that walking according to man. I think because Paul sees the world in two different lenses. He sees the world of the spiritual, of those who know Christ and trust Christ versus those who don't. So it's sort of like the world of those who know who they are in Christ and those who don't. And when those who know who they are in Christ act like people that don't know who they are in Christ, that's walking down. That's sort of walking beneath who you are. Because Paul says that's still carnal. Where there's envy, strife, divisions among you, that's carnal. For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Isn't that carnal? Who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. In other words, what's the difference? By the way, I think Apollos is an interesting character because he is a lot like Paul, an intellectual Jew who comes to Christ and has a grace reformation. I believe, and I'm with Martin Luther on this, I believe that Apollos may have been the author of the book of Hebrews because the Greek in Hebrews is different than the Greek in any other book of the New Testament. And it's headier. It's more scholarly. Paul's writings aren't that way. You would think they would be, but they're not. Paul maybe writes down a little bit to his audience, and I don't mean in a bad way, but maybe down to the level that they are. But the Hebrews Greek is a little higher, a little headier, and it's definitely from a very intellectual Jewish standpoint. Kind of leads me to believe that maybe it's Apollos. These are two very interesting characters in the early church, Paul and Apollos. And they're apparently, in the church at Corinth, two of the leading figureheads when it comes to the introduction of the gospel of grace and the finished work of Jesus. Paul and Apollos are those. And there's been this split of I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. There's never any indication that I can see in the New Testament that Paul and Apollos are into it, but rather the people who follow them sort of set themselves at odds with one another. And that kind of stuff still happens to this day. I don't think very many of us ministers are at odds with one another in almost any way. And yet people that sort of adhere to one guy's version versus another guy's version tend to feel as if they have accomplished something or have something. And that, to me, that seems kind of silly. Tomorrow, we'll get into the famous planted, watered, and God gives the increase. And what does Paul mean by that? And he sort of starts to bring unity to this argument. We'll do that with him tomorrow on the 2nd of July. I'll see you then. God bless.